Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. One of the most disturbing trends to afflict American politics and policy debates in recent years has been the rise of violent right-wing extremism. Time and again, people have been victimized and even killed because of their race, color, religion, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Recently in North Carolina, we've seen a spike in this kind of hate-based criminality, particularly in the form of physical attacks on and threats against the LGBTQ community. And recently in a conversation we recorded before the attacks on two Moore County electric substations that many have speculated could be connected to these trends, I got a chance to talk with Kendra Johnson, the executive director of the nonprofit advocacy organization Equality North Carolina. And as Johnson made clear to me, it's no coincidence that the rise in violence is taking place at the same moment that conservative public officials are advancing policies designed to roll back LGBTQ rights. Kendra Johnson, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Hey, I'm absolutely delighted. Thanks for inviting me.
Some big news out of Washington in recent days with the passage of bipartisan legislation to protect same-sex marriages. In fact, with the help of North Carolina's two Republican senators, pretty striking development. Before we get into the details of the legislation and undoubtedly some shortcomings, is it providing any kind of thoughts of hope and progress that we've had at least this little bit of progress at the national level?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that we're having the debate, right? And I think it's important that there was some movement. But the reality is, you know, we're in a moment where I feel like the national rhetoric and the attacks that we've seen at our prides, the attacks on healthcare, the attacks on trans youth and sports, it feels as if we are having attacks that feel like pitchforks and lanterns. Yeah. And the response is not really, it doesn't reach the level that we would want it to reach. We need comprehensive protections. We need guarantees. And although progress is good, and we certainly don't want to lose the gains that we had with Obergefell and marriage equality, this doesn't really even fully codify and protect it at the level that we had anticipated. So while progress is good, to me, it's a disappointment when we've seen record highs of murders of trans women, when we've seen people who are supportive of trans kids, like attempts to criminalize supportive parents, when we've seen our very identities be calmed. Grooming, it falls short to me. I'm glad that we'll have some level of protection, but it is not enough.
There's no doubt that in the eyes of federal law, LGBTQ citizens still remain second class in many respects. I wonder, you know, and we have seen this horrific, just this ongoing series of physical violence being directed against LGBTQ people. I did a commentary recently where I opined that I think there's a link between politicians who sponsor hateful legislation and or who refuse to vociferously condemn this kind of violence and the violence that happens. It seems pretty clear that that provides sort of an incentive, or at least they almost act as cheerleaders in a way for the people who the disturbed individuals out there who are actually committing actual acts of physical violence. Do you see a connection there?
Obviously, yeah. The rhetoric that we've had and the attacks that we've had on spaces, like let's look at Club Q. If you take a community and you make the very community obscene and you equate a whole community with pedophiles, but you're not talking about the actual pedophiles. Let's talk about the Southern Baptist Conference. Those were where the pedophiles were and there was silence. But with our community, we've been held out like red meat. We had folks like Dan Bishop tweeting about drag brunches, and we've had Proud Boys turn up in Wilmington. We had, you know, the GLAAD report shows that North Carolina had the highest number of protests tied with Texas for LGBTQ events this year. And we folks have been facing death threats and being doxxed. So there is absolutely a link. And to me, the issue is rather than actually targeting the things that we need, which is better education, better health care, access to housing and income stability, you are making an entire community into a threat and people are responding in measure, and they're turning their ire toward a community that is disenfranchised and facing steep battles to even have basic access to rights.
It's a sobering situation. Talk to us about the new North Carolina General Assembly. We're now in this situation where a gubernatorial veto is hanging by a thread, the prospect of sustaining a gubernatorial veto because of the way the two bodies have evolved as a result of the November election. What are your expectations? Do you have any? Do you have hopes, fears about what might be happening in the 2023 session of the North Carolina General Assembly?
Yeah. So the way that I have talked about elections generically, anecdotally with friends is that it was not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it wasn't everything that we desired. So I see us as having a fighting chance, and that's critical. We know that typically in the midterms, whoever is the ruling party loses. We're seeing that, you know, some of those things are not coming to bear. I mean, who would have thought on the national level that we would have progressive candidates taking the Senate and we would have a fighting chance there? And again, even the legislation that we saw with Tillis and Burr voting for the Respect for Marriage Act is huge. So it will be an uphill battle, but we have a fighting chance and I will take it. And I think that, you know, we had some good progress, us particularly as an organization that has a foundation, an advocacy arm, and a PAC. We had 109 endorsed candidates going into this race that were on the ballot, and 80 of those candidates won. That's 73%, right? And a huge majority were women. A huge majority were people of color. We still have 7 openly LGBTQ elected folks. So we made progress. It has been, you know, always 2 steps forward, 1 back, but I think we have a fighting chance, and we'll continue to educate and mobilize people and give them a container to work for the state that they want to live in. And we know it's going to be crazy because everyone is looking at 2024. So I can't say that I'm seeing a perfect scenario, but we have a fighting chance.
We're talking with Kendra Johnson, who's the executive director of Equality NC. You can find out more about the organization at equalitync.org. Remind our listeners, Kendra, if you would, some of the bills that were bottled up in the 2022 session, some of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill and these other matters, proposals that would be so harmful to LGBTQ youth. Are you expecting to see that kind of legislation again? Is it worth sort of reminding our listeners what that legislation was about?
Yeah, so we had a quote unquote parental rights bill. We know that parents have rights. We know that schools are explicit and open about what they're educating students on. This was a bill attacking the LGBTQ plus community that is tabled. It's modeled on, you know, Florida's Don't Say Gay bill, which really seeks to police LGBTQ identity in school and curb any content that would be inclusive about LGBTQ students and families. That bill was tabled by Berger and Moore. I expect to see it pop back up because this is the kind of bait and switch that we're seeing nationally. In previous sessions, we had the quote unquote Save Women's Sports Act bill, which seems to be another bill that has taken hold across the country. And I expect to see that pop back up as well. We've had some attacks on trans students who are playing and this demonization of a poor like volleyball player who was just playing a game. And we know that injuries are routine, but the language that was used to attack this young student was horrific. So we know that we'll see something in that vein. And I think kind of everything is on the table, unfortunately, because instead of working on the issues, politicians prefer to attack constituents, right?
Yeah, easier than getting things, actual productive things done. There has been some, I think, reasonable speculation and maybe even informed speculation that some of our business leaders, perhaps even Apple, which is bringing a giant facility to North Carolina, might have played a role in sending signals to the legislative leadership not to go with some of this really outrageous, hateful legislation. Do you share that? Do you think that may have played a role? And does that provide some cause for optimism going forward?
Yeah, I think, number one, businesses get the reality that a diverse workforce that includes LGBTQ people, women, racial minorities, et cetera, is necessary for good business. And with Apple building, you know, its second campus in North Carolina and doing heavy recruiting and also bringing staff from their first campus, having anti-LGBTQ rhetoric or rollback of civil rights generically, and including abortion rights, is deeply problematic because they cannot have their employees losing rights as they cross zip codes. It makes the state much less attractive. And it's not just Apple. There are myriad businesses that are recruiting. There's Gilead, there's Google, there are other major entities that prize equality and civil rights that need a workforce that is diverse. So I hope that we'll continue to see members of the business community speaking out on this, either behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and making it plain that they need to have basic civil rights for their employees and basic quality of life. We cannot go down the road of HB2 again in North Carolina. It costs the state too much. And so I hope that we'll have a progressive slate of allies that are working with us to have the North Carolina that we all deserve.
Along those same lines, I wonder if you have any thoughts about how LGBTQ allies and neighbors can be better allies in public spaces, can speak out. What are things that you would, you know, maybe some of our listeners out there are thinking, what can I do to help this cause? Would you have any suggestions for them?
Yeah, I think number one, join and support organizations like Equality NC, like Planned Parenthood, like NARAL Pro-Choice, the immigrant rights groups, because all of these groups are under attack. So get engaged. That's number one. Two, when you're looking at voting, look all up and down the ballot and what their stances are on these issues and voting records. And three, use your personal power in the systems and institutions that you're part of to support marginalized groups. And what I mean by that is that we need allies that are vocal, not someone who has a passive I support equality, but who are actively taking a stance against the marginalization and discrimination of people based on identity. And so people need to speak up. People need to join arms. All of our liberties and freedoms are interconnected. And in the same way that they're coming for LGBTQ rights, we just lost Roe. They're coming for immigrants. They're coming for labor. We all have to be united to build the North Carolina that we deserve. And people, this is not a sitting on the sidelines with a flag. This is raising your voice, voting your conscience, and investing in a community that you want to be a part of.
We're coming to the end of our time with Kendra Johnson, the Executive Director of Equality NC. I want to get you out of here on a high note. You all have a program that, as I believe, will be taking place in the new year. It's called the Rural Youth Empowerment Fellowship. Is that right? Is that a project that Equality NC will be undertaking? Yeah. Tell us about that and how that'll be going in the new year.
I don't tell anyone, but that's my favorite program. And the reason why I love it is it's young people who come from rural areas, which we know are under-resourced in terms of support for LGBTQ folks, who come to us and they come with a project that they want to develop, and we get to bring them into the organization, flank and support them, get to know them, and help them build that lasting resource for their community. And so these are folks who are from rural areas or who live in rural areas that have identified a need. And that's the kind of organizing that we want to do, is having our community tell us what's needed and have us flank and support these people to build it. And I see them as not only the future, but the now, because they're doing the work that we need done all across the state. And it's a phenomenal group of 8 young leaders with myriad projects, with loads of energy that are coming to really revitalize the movement and keep pushing it forward.
Kendra Johnson is the Executive Director of Equality NC. You can check her out. You could be supportive of the initiative she was just describing by going to their website, equalitync.org. Kendra, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're busy, but have a good holiday season and a good 2023, and we'll look forward maybe to some more good news early in the new year.
All righty. Thank you so much for having me, and happy holidays to you as well.
Coming up next, a special two-part conversation about a new WRAL documentary that details North Carolina's failed effort to aid thousands of people harmed by Hurricane Matthew and Florence. Don't go away.